The following is a presentation of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Chris Tice. For more audio and video content, please check us out on the web at www.opendoornj.org.
Paul in 1 Thessalonians is writing in this first epistle to the Thessalonican church. He's lodging in Athens, and it's around AD 51. It's just 25 years after the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry. It's one of the first epistles that he wrote. He was writing to a church that needed some counsel and was facing persecution. They were facing persecution from without because they were saved and they were living for the Lord and they were preaching the gospel, and they were facing persecution for that, and they were facing problems also from within. How many know that as much as we face persecution from without, our greatest problems are usually from within? They come from within us, and sometimes they come from with our dealings with one another. As we read here, that we're to be patient towards all men, that we're to not render evil for evil unto any man, that we're to follow after that which is good among yourselves in the church, but also unto all men. He was writing to this church, and the church who the Holy Spirit writes to today, the church of the living God, is much farther off in years than at this time of the writing, but not much further in its need for counsel and its need for instruction. How many of us, we understand we still need the counsel and the instruction of the Lord tonight just as much as they did? We need the correction. We understand the Word of God is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Our desire is to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, to be like Jesus Christ, who is the Word that was made flesh. And in his closing remarks of the epistle, Paul leaves the church with some very practical remarks, some very pointed statements, some very direct and brief statements that are practical and are needful in the church today, and what God's will is for them. And what they need to do. If you look at verses 16 through 18 is really where we're going to be tonight. He says, for this is the will of God, verse 18, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes we stress and we strain over finding out what the will of God is, but there's places in the Bible where God just says, this is the will of God. How many like me, sometimes we like to treat the will of God like buried treasure because we know what the will of God is in certain areas of our lives, and we'd rather kind of go on a quest for the unknown rather than just obey and follow the known. God has given us so much in his word that we know the best thing we can do as believers is follow after that which is good. To do what we already know to do. How many of us know that when you obey the revealed will of God, the revealed word of God in your life, as you obey that which you do understand, God gives you more understanding to the word of God. You know, sometimes we struggle, we say, well, what's the next step? And we haven't taken the step that God has already put in front of us. Are you with me tonight? That we have to take that step first and trust the Lord and believe him. And sometimes we're trying to get 10 steps ahead and God says, hey, this is the simple, simple revealed will that you need to do. And tonight I want to just kind of focus on what a church doing God's will looks like. The marks, the traits of a grateful church. A thankful church, as we're going to this season of Thanksgiving and a little bit of a topical message tonight. But I want you to look in the passage of Scripture with me and look at these traits that Paul points out. This is a church that is doing the will of God. This is a church that is following after that which is good. This is a church that is embracing, hey, listen, the grace that's been given to us, we're offering it to others. You notice what he's saying? Be gracious, be peaceful, be good to all men. And then he calls us to several things. Verse number 16 is the first one I want to look at tonight. And that is regularly rejoicing. Regularly rejoicing. Look at verse number 16. It says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Hey, listen, God's people, God's church should be regularly rejoicing. Are you with me tonight? That should be a normal part of our life, not just a Sunday part of our life, not just a Wednesday part or a Tuesday night part of our life, or when we gather together and assemble. Hey, we have reason to rejoice evermore. We have reason to rejoice all the time. I like Ron Hamilton. If you know him, some of you know him as Patch the Pirate. If your kids ever listen, he wrote that great song, Rejoice, Oh Rejoice in the Lord. And he said, God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant or molding a man, give thanks to the Lord. You know, sometimes those testings and trials come into our life. But he makes no mistake. He knows the way that we take. And when we're tried and purified, we'll come forth as gold. Hey, listen, we can rejoice in the Lord tonight. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen, if we have a hard time as God's church rejoicing when we gather together around God's word and worship, I would imagine we're going to struggle even more outside these walls rejoicing in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with praising God. Are you with me tonight? There's nothing wrong with lifting up some holy hands. There's nothing wrong with us raising our voice in joy and joyfulness to the Lord. Can I remind us tonight that the fruit of the Spirit is joy? It's a fruit of God's Spirit. The fruit of God's Spirit and God's working in our life is joy. We're supposed to rejoice. We have much to rejoice over tonight. You know, if we only rejoice in good times, what makes our joy different from those who don't know Christ? You know, if we only rejoice when things happen to us that we enjoy, or things happen to us that are good, or things happen to us that we think we deserve, and when those things happen to us in our lives that we seemingly don't deserve, those things that are difficult, those trials and tribulations, listen, we can rejoice in the Lord always. We can rejoice in the Lord at all times. His praise should be, the psalmist said, continually in our mouths. Continually. Listen, I don't know what it is tonight that would keep you from rejoicing. Philippians 1:26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant, he says, in Jesus Christ. You know, think of that moment that caused you pain or hurt, that moment you may not understand even tonight. And I want you to, just for a moment tonight, I know that maybe this is not something that would bring us joy, but call that moment to memory. And what I want to challenge you to do tonight is rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. It is easy to rejoice when things good happen to us. I mean, you with me tonight? I mean, if we don't practice this, Paul and Silas at midnight in the prison, they sang praises to God, didn't they? That, I don't know about you, but that's not an environment that's conducive to worship. It's not an environment that's conducive to praise. Listen, Paul and Silas didn't have the choir come in and kind of wake them up a little bit. And they didn't have a song leader kind of waving his hand, say, hey, come on, church, wake up a little bit. He didn't have some music to wake him up. They were there. They were in the prison. They had been beaten for preaching the gospel. And there they are, their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, they're singing praises to God. Come on, I want that kind of Christianity tonight. How about you? I desire that kind. We need to have that kind of Christianity. That's the kind of joy that makes a difference in this world. You know, people that look at you when you're in a hard time or a trial and they hear you rejoice in the Lord, that makes a difference. They look at you and say, I don't understand why you're rejoicing. I don't understand what you're rejoicing over. But listen, can we not rejoice? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, the Bible says. Count it all joy. Isn't it hard to do, though? Come on, I'm preaching to me, too, tonight. I know it's Tuesday night. We work today. We're tired, Pastor. I mean, we had a long day. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse. If we can't just kind of go through this life, hey, aren't we blessed tonight? Come on, we're blessed. We're about to go into the gymnasium that we have, that God's given us in this building. We're sitting here in padded pews. We got screens on the wall. Musicians have played. Songs have been sung. We have a Bible in our lap. Are you with me tonight? I mean, we have all the reason more to joy, all the reason more to rejoice, all the more reason to praise. It doesn't show us tonight how much we take for granted. We take so much for granted. We don't think about all that we have in Christ. We don't think about all that God has done for us and how good he's been to us. Listen, tonight, think of that moment, but perhaps you wouldn't have had much joy in tonight, and I challenge you, go to that moment and say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to say, you know what? Even though, what Job said, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You think about a man that had so much and lost it all. Lost everything. And not because he did wrong. The Bible says he feared God, that he hated evil, that he lived for the Lord, that he was an upright man, that he was a righteous man, that he loved the Lord, that he worshiped the Lord. You know, all his friends came and accused him of all the things that he was doing that was wrong, but God knew his heart, didn't he? And he worshiped the Lord. Boy, he had some questions. You with me tonight? I have some questions. I have some questions, don't you? You know, some questions about why this might have happened or why it went that way or how it, you know, some things, you with me tonight, some things I just still don't understand, can't get my mind wrapped around. Difficult times, you know, trials and tribulations. And we say, I want to rejoice. Listen, the best thing we can do is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Regularly rejoicing. Number two tonight, perpetually praying. Perpetually praying. Look at verse number 17. He says, pray without ceasing. It's a perpetual spirit. It's a perpetual action. It's a perpetual, it's like breathing to the Christian. Perpetually praying. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about recited prayers tonight. I'm not talking about memorized prayers tonight. I'm not talking about just kind of rhetoric. And the Bible talks about not coming with vain repetitions. If we're not careful, sometimes that's all our praying becomes. We say the same things over and over and over again. It's not really heartfelt. We're not really connecting with God. Have you ever get down on your knees? And I did it today. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I meant to pray, but I'm just thinking. I meant to pray. Come on, we're just flesh. You ever get down and pray and you start thinking about all these different things? And I thought, boy, Lord, I should be praying and I'm just thinking. I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that, and sometimes my mind wanders, and boy, I wish I could keep my eyes on Jesus sometimes. Are you with me? There's so many things calling our attention away. You know, we get so upset with Peter as he took his eyes off Christ as he walked on water. You with me? How many of us would have loved to walk on water with Jesus? He got out of the boat. We get so hard on Peter, none of the other guys got out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. Oh, he took his eyes off Jesus, but he believed God long enough to walk on water. And he was out of the boat, and boy, sometimes it's like in this Christian life, there's times where we're just walking on water. It's times where it seems like God is just coming through, where miracles are happening, and then all of a sudden we start to see things around us that cause us to take our eyes off Jesus. And taking our eyes off Jesus, really what we're doing is taking our faith from him and putting it in other things. Come on, are we all guilty tonight of having faith in circumstances rather than Christ? Faith in ourselves rather than Christ? Trusting our abilities in our own flesh? Come on, there's that battle every day that I've got to say, Lord, help me not to trust my flesh. God, help me not to trust my thoughts. God, help me not to follow my heart, but help me to follow and walk in your spirit. Come on, I want to walk in God's spirit. The Bible says, walk in the spirit and you shall not, what? Fulfill the lusts of your flesh. You want to know whether you're walking the spirit? If you're walking the spirit, you're not fulfilling the lusts of your flesh. The truth tonight. That's the litmus test. I know, Lord, I'm fulfilling the lusts of my, I'm doing what I want. God, I'm not walking in the spirit. I'm not in a season or a mind of prayer. Listen, perpetually praying is being in a constant attitude of reliance and of acknowledging God. Let's be honest, church. We need to think about God more. We need to think about God more. Sometimes, come on, are you with me? You think about yourself for long enough, you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to pity yourself. And you're going to, even though sometimes we don't think about it or confess it as pride, when I feel sorry for myself, it's just pride. It's just pride. Self-loathing is pride. It's just me thinking, oh, I deserve better. I should be better. This shouldn't be happening to me. It's just another form of pride in our life, isn't it? Perpetually praying means I'm constantly looking to Jesus, constantly acknowledging him. Praying without ceasing means calling every thought to the obedience of Christ. It means bringing captive every thought to the throne of God. I mean, think about that tonight. Don't we have access? Does he ever live? What does Jesus, are you with me tonight, church? Doesn't he ever live to make intercession for us? I mean, it's a constant ministry of our high priest, Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between us and God. He's our access to God. We have at any time entrance to go before God, to come before him and find what? Grace to help. Grace to help. Boy, grace is a big help, isn't it? Grace is a big help. Anybody need more grace tonight? Can I tell you tonight, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. You know, we've got to come before God and say, God, I need your grace. You know what that means? That means I have to tell God I can't. It's hard to say, isn't it? In the world of I cans, in the world of you can do anything, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've failed enough trying to do it on my own. I've failed enough trying to do it on my own. And listen, I cannot do it. You cannot do it. We cannot do it. As God's church tonight, we've got to say, God, we need you. We need you. You know, every time we pray, what we say to God is, I need you. Every time we pray, we come before the throne and say, God, I need grace to help. I need grace to help. You know, that grace that the Bible talks about is necessary for salvation, is necessary for the Christian life. Grace is simply the supernatural enabling to do the will of God. It's God giving us an ability to do his will. We could not do his will apart from grace. Listen, the Bible says, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Aren't you glad for the gift of God's grace tonight? Listen to me tonight. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. If you need grace to help tonight, all you've got to do is bring that need before the throne. God will give. It doesn't say that he's going to do what you want. It says he's going to give you grace. He's going to give you grace. You think about Paul. Paul went before the Lord, didn't he? Three times he asked the Lord to remove something from his life that the Bible calls a thorn in his flesh. He said, God, please take this away. Something painful in his life, something hurtful in his life. Some think it was a physical ailment. Some think it was a spiritual battle that he was facing. We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the truth is tonight, he had something that was ailing him, something that was hurting him, something that was bothering him. And he said, God, please take it away. God, please take it away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is enough. You know, sometimes when we go before the throne, God says, I'm not going to take it from you. You know, how many of us tonight would have not gone to the Lord except for that hard time in life? Sometimes we get so kind of upset with God. We say, God, why are you letting this happen? And God's saying, hey, listen, you wouldn't have come to me otherwise. If this problem wouldn't have arisen in your life, you wouldn't have run to me. You wouldn't have called on me. You've been living without me, and now you need me. You know, when we're in a position where we understand we need God, that's a good place to be. It's a great place to be. When we think we don't need God, that's a dangerous place to be. That's when we take God's grace and we turn into lasciviousness, the Bible says. When we treat God's grace like a license to live how we want. You know, when we understand the grace of God, God has been good to us. He says, pray without ceasing. I wonder tonight, what areas of life are you not factoring God into? Think about it tonight. What areas of life are you not factoring God into? You know, if you won't factor God into your marriage, it's not going to work. You won't factor God into your family. It's not going to work. If you won't factor God, this you say, I need God for my profession. Yes, you do. I need God for my family life. Yes, you do. You didn't just need God for salvation. You need him for sanctification tonight. We're never going to be more like Jesus without him. Listen, salvation is not of works and sanctification is not of works. It's all in Christ. He does the work. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works because of his work in us. Hey, listen, we work. We labor. James says, I show you my faith by my works. Listen, his works didn't give him faith. His faith produced works. You think about in our lives, sometimes we try to go backwards. We try to say, oh God, I need you if I just start doing right again. If I just start performing again. No. When you start going to performance, that's when we get it wrong. We go back to God and say, God, I can't do it. I can't do anything. I need you tonight. And the prayer is when we come before God and acknowledge God. Hey, listen, trust in the Lord with all thy what, church? Heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He shall direct thy paths, the Bible says. Listen to me tonight. You know, what areas of life are you not acknowledging God in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Boy, it's easy to trust God when things are going our way. But it's not easy to trust God when things are going a way that we don't like or we don't think they should go in. That's when the trust is tested, perpetually praying. What areas of life are you not factoring God into? What part of your life have you not surrendered in your heart to his sovereign control? Number three tonight, the third thing that he mentions here and will be done is thoroughly thanking. Thoroughly thanking. Look at verse number 18. Read it with me, church. In everything, come on, read it with me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That little tag at the end of verse number 18 is a summarization of, hey, all these things that I'm saying, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. It's not just giving thanks, it's all of these things. It's all of these things. All of these things are in God's will. All of these things are marks of a thankful, a grateful church. In everything, give thanks. You know, I may not be thankful for all that happens in life, but I can choose to be thankful in all that happens in life. You with me tonight? It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. It says in everything, give thanks. You know, sometimes, I'm not going to get into the semantics of that tonight, but sometimes I'm trying to figure out whether I'm in everything, give thanks, or for everything, give thanks. But the truth is, what I've learned is when I'm in everything, give thanks, I begin to just thank God for everything. I begin to thank God for. You say, how can you thank God for something you're not thankful for? That's why you need God to be thankful. That's why you need him. Because God makes us thankful for things that we would never be in our flesh thankful for. Things that we would never be. Listen, the flesh is thankful for only that which gives in to the desires of the flesh. Those things that we want. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us. What does it teach us? God's grace. To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace, God's Spirit makes us a thankful people. Teaches us to thank God for his goodness and for his word. Thoroughly thankful. In everything, give thanks. You believe this tonight, church? There are no coincidences with God. No coincidences. I'm amazed at how many things that it, apart from Christ, I would think was a coincidence. But then God just says, here you go. Here you go. Aren't you glad when we live the Christian life and believe God and trust God, we can see God's work where we wouldn't have seen it before. We can see, hey, sometimes God just puts you right where you need to be, doesn't he? You don't have to try to make yourself. It just happens organically. When you're following the Lord, when you're giving thanks for all things, listen, sometimes if we're being honest tonight, there's things that we could think of tonight that we'd say, boy, I'm just not thankful for those things. You know, sometimes I think we get thankfulness and appreciation confused. Appreciation are things I appreciate are things that are good. The things that God tells me to be thankful for are not always good to me, if you would. But they're always good for me. They're always good for me. How many, when you were growing up, your mom said, eat your vegetables, they're good for you. And then she'd tell your sister, go put hair on your chest, right? you say, it's good. Some of you just woke up, all right? It's good for you. It's good for you. Is it good? Is what God's doing good for you? Does he know what's best for you? Listen, sometimes we think, God, I don't want that. God, I don't like that. God, I don't think I need that. Are you with me? I don't think I need that. How many things has God sent your way that you didn't think you needed, but later you found out that you did? You know, God's put people in your life. God's put things in your life. God's put circumstances in your life that you need, whether or not you think you do or not. God uses circumstances. He uses trials. Hey, listen, tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Be careful when you pray for patience and hope, because tribulation is what starts all of that. Tribulation is what starts that whole process. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. God, give me some hope. You say, God, send me some tribulation. Sometimes that's what it is. It's those things that cause us to remind us that we can't without God. We can only appreciate good things, but we can be thankful in everything. You know, we truly understand and can be thankful for God's blessings when we understand that hardship and trial are equally important in our lives. Equally important. How many of us would just have the dessert of life, if you would? We would just have the sweet part of life. We would just have all those things that we enjoy in life. God says, hey, listen, you need this. Well, God, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. I'm a good father. You need this. I'm a good father. You need this. Aren't you glad he's a good father? He's a good father. He knows what we need. He knows what lessons we need to learn tonight. He knows what pressure we need to, hey, listen, to make us more like Jesus. Paul wanted to know Christ in such a way that he understood the fellowship of suffering with Christ. I wonder if we would pray that tonight. Be thankful. Be thankful. Hey, why can we be thankful tonight? Is it only because of all the good things in our life right now? We have to be careful, because if that's the case, it's no wonder why Thanksgiving has become about us giving ourselves so much. Giving ourselves so much. Really, instead of being thankful for all the things God has given to us. We think about the way things started. And by the way, I'm not against the celebration of how you celebrate your traditions. I hope you have a wonderful day Thursday with your family. Enjoy it. I hope it's the best Thanksgiving you have. But the truth is, if we miss the point, Thanksgiving is not a holiday in the Christian life. It's a state of being. It's the way that we should be all the time. In everything, give thanks. Hey, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, God's pretty clear. It's concerning us, church. It's for us. It's for us. It's not just for that Thessalonican church. God in his Holy Spirit, he gave these words not just for that church, but for his church, all of us. Every people of every day, every age. Listen, it's applicable to us tonight. I wonder tonight, could we do this? Maybe think of something that you haven't been thankful for. Not something maybe that you could run to and say, well, that's a really good thing happened to me. I'm thankful for that. But maybe tonight, that thing that has caused you to cry out to God. That thing that has caused you to cry out to God. You know, David said it this way, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy law. Before the pain, before the suffering, I went astray. But now, after this trial, after this suffering, after this affliction, he tells us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. Hey, the light affliction, which is but for a moment, the Bible says. You think about this life, it's just a vapor, and it's gone. Absent from the body, believers, present with the Lord. We're going to be with Jesus forever, forever. Let's be careful that we're not so earthly minded, so earthly focused, that we think that, hey, listen, if we have hope only in this life, we're of men most miserable. You know, it's no wonder why sometimes as Christians we're miserable, because we're looking for hope in this life, when really we should be looking for the hope that lies within us. We should be looking for the hope that is ahead of us. There is hope within us, isn't there, tonight? As long as there's God, there's hope. You have Jesus in your heart tonight. Do you know Christ? You have life. You have life. And I'm not just talking about this physical life. I'm talking about eternal, everlasting life. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Think about that message that Jesus gave to that woman at the well. If you drink of the water I give you, you never thirst again. If we're not careful, we lose our taste for that living water. We think, boy, we can find a substitute. Everything the devil has to offer is a poor substitute for the living water. Poor substitute. He'll tell you, oh, it'll satisfy. Oh, it'll give you more wisdom. Oh, it'll give you more this. Oh, it'll give you more that. But he's a liar, isn't he? He's a trickster. He wants to poison your life. You know what? A way that the devil poisons our lives is sometimes he whispers in our ear during those times of affliction and we believe what he says. We believe that God's not good or that somehow God's forgotten about us or God doesn't care or nobody cares. You think about Elijah when he's in the wilderness. He said, God, I'm the only one. And God said, no, you're not. You're not the only one. But God was good to him, wasn't he? He came to him and he said, take some rest. He made him some food. He laid him down. Take some rest. Eat some food. Take some rest. Eat some food. Then he said, get up and get back. Get up and get back. Aren't you glad? Hey, listen, old Peter, when he denied the Lord, what did Jesus do? Take some rest, eat some food, but go feed my sheep now. Just follow me. Follow me. Do you love me? Do you love me? Hey, listen, do we love Jesus tonight? I know we say it so often, but if we love Jesus, we trust him, don't we? You can't be in a relationship with the Lord if you don't trust him. It took faith to enter the relationship. That's saying I'm putting all my trust in him. So if you don't trust in the Lord tonight, we're in a bad state. We need to trust God. What are you not thankful for tonight? Maybe tonight God can change your heart. Maybe you can say, God, those things that I wasn't thankful in, I'll be thankful tonight. God, I'll be thankful for those things. Not just appreciative of all the good things that have happened to me, but thankful. How many of you know that if it were not for trial and tribulation in your life, you wouldn't be who you are and you wouldn't be where you are. God's used those things to make you. God's used those things to make you more like him. Isn't Jesus beautiful? We want to be more like him, don't we? Beautiful. He's perfect in every way. We want to be like Christ. And the only way to be conformed to that image is to embrace that this life has bad and it has good. But we're in this relationship, just like you said at the marriage altar, right? For better, for worse. Listen, when is your commitment challenged? When it's worse. When things get bad, that's not the time to run from God. That's the time to run to God. That's not the time to stay away. That's the time to so much the more. That's the time to be closer to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let your flesh rob you of your joy. God is good, isn't he? What does he say? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice regularly. Pray without ceasing. Pray perpetually. In everything, give thanks, thoroughly thanking.
If God has used this ministry in any way to be a blessing to you, please take a moment to send us an email to info@opendoornj.org. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online at opendoornj.org. Thanks for tuning in.